Okay, fine. So this season, just to repeat, we're going to be going through the different klalim that modify the Isra Malacha of Shabbos. Last week, we just gave a general introduction, and tonight we start our first principle, which is going to be a three-week job, and that is the principle of Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. So let's start from the very beginning, and we're going to see how it plays out. Mirtz Hashem, usually the way these sugyas work is the first week or two, we set down the principles, and then in 3 weeks, we're going to go through the interesting shailas and the poskim that come up based on this principle. So let's start from the very beginning. The Mishnah and Shabbos on Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis. The Mishnah and Shabbos on Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis brings up a situation where there's a mace inside of a house. And the question becomes, is there any issue with carrying the corpse out of the house into the Rishus HaRabim? So we have in the Mishnah, Machlokes Tanoim, between the Tanakama versus Rabbi Shimon. Starting with the Shita of the Tanakama, which Tosas identifies as Rabbi Huda, so we're going to call it the Shita of Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda holds that you're chayiv if you transport a corpse from the house into the Rishus HaRabim. So that is the Malacha of Hotzah. You're moving it from one domain to another domain. That is going to be a violation of Malachas Hotzah. That's the Shita of Rabbi Huda. Comes along Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah argues and says that you're pater. If you move once again the mace out into the Rishus HaRabim, you're pater. Why? Rashi says, because this is a malacha shein tzricha legufa, meaning that Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that in order to be chayev on Shabbos for doing a malacha, aside from doing the maisa malacha, aside from doing the activity of the malacha itself, you also need to do the malacha for a specific purpose. Every malacha needs to be done for a specific purpose in order to be chayiv, which is called tzricha legufa, its purpose. You have to do it for its purpose to be chayiv. If you do it for any other purpose, it's called eina tzricha legufa. You're not doing it for the right purpose. It is going to be pater. And as most mefarshim assume, this is rooted in the principle of malachas makshavas. As we introduced last week, there's a general rule that the malachas on Shabbos need to be performed in a professional manner, in a manner of malachas makshavas. And Rabbi Shimon understands that part of this need for professionalism goes into the purpose. That when you do a malacha, it needs to be done for a professional purpose. It can't be done for any happenstance, any casual purpose. It needs to be done for a professional purpose. That's where he gets this need for tzricha legufa. And so Rabbi Shimon apparently holds, when you transport this mace from the house out into the Rishus HaRabim, although you're doing the mace and malacha of hotzah, you're doing an act of hotzah, it's not being done for the right purpose, which we'll have to see why that is, but you're not doing it for the right purpose. And therefore, it is pater. Now, Rabbi Huda, obviously, who is machayiv in this case, doesn't hold of this principle. And so we have a machlokes tanoim as if there is indeed our first qualification to the Isra Malacha. We're having a machlokes tanoim. Do we care about your purpose when you do a malacha? Rabbi Yehuda says, we do not care about the purpose. As long as you do the maisa malacha, you do the act of the malacha, no matter what your purpose is, even if it's ein tzricha legufa, you're going to be chayiv. Rabbi Shimon holds that there's a new rule. It has to be tzricha legufa. Every malacha has to be done for its purpose. If you do it for any alternative purpose, it is ein tzricha legufa, and it is going to be pater. Fine. Now, just to point out one more example where we have this machlokas on the books before we start the analysis. The Gemara in Chagiga there on Yudim and Aleph points out one more example where we have this machlokas between Rabbi Huda versus Rabbi Shimon. And this is Benogea, a case of digging a hole. We know that if you dig a hole, let's say inside a house on Shabbos, so that fits under the malacha of Bona. Bona is the malacha of building. And a hole is a certain structure that could be viewed as a type of a binyan. So digging a hole inside of a house fits under the malacha of Bona. It was relevant with these outdoor minyanim. If you're inside a tent and you start playing around with the dirt, you know, digging holes in the dirt, technically that would be an issue of Malachas Bona, but fine, hopefully we're done with that. The Gemara brings up the following situation. Let's say you dig a hole inside of a house and you don't do it for the sake of the hole, you do it for the sake of the dirt. You want to acquire some dirt on Shabbos. So you dig a hole in order to get the dirt. Says the Gemara, this is another example of a malacha, shein tzricha legufa. You're doing the malacha of Bona, you're doing the act of Bona by digging this hole, but it's being done for the wrong purpose. You're not doing it for apparently whatever the tzricha legufa purpose is, it's not being done for the right purpose. And so this is another malacha, shein tzricha legufa. According to Rabbi Shimon, this is pater, because we care about the purpose. According to Rabbi Huda, in principle, this would be chayiv, because we do not care about the purpose. So those are all the original Gemara and Tanaic sources on the issue of Tzriach Lagufa, Machlokes Tanoim, and we had two examples where this Malacha plays out. We had the example of carrying the corpse out into the Rishus Rabim, and the second example we have is digging the hole for the sake of the dirt and not for the sake of the hole. Now, the big issue that has to be analyzed in this sugya is, what is the definition of Tzriach Lagufa? What is that specific purpose you have to have in mind, according to Rabbi Shimon, which makes it Tzriach Lagufa? At what point do we say that it's in a Tzriach Lagufa because you're doing it for the wrong purpose? And ultimately, we'll see that this is going to be very much Nogei LaHalacha. We paskin, for the most part, like Rabbi Shimon. And so this tour is going to be relevant in many different situations. Mirtz Hashem, in 2 weeks, we're going to go through a very fascinating tshuva of Rav Avadia about doctors working in hospitals and seeing non-Jewish patients. And he gets very much heavily into the sugya of in its real lagufa. So we need to set down the principles this week. As I said, the first 2 weeks, we get the principles down so we can go through the fun tshuvas in 3 weeks. Okay. So what is that purpose you have to have in mind to do a malacha in order for it to be called Tzriach Lagufa? So there's a big machlokas we've shown on this issue between Tosfos on the one hand versus the Ramban and Rashi on the other hand. Two major approaches in the Rishonim. Let's start with the Shita of Tosfos. Tosfos says as follows. This is on Sadi Dalet Amud Aleph. Tosfos says that the purpose you have to have in mind when doing a malacha is the purpose that they had in mind in the Mishkan. We know ultimately all of our 39 malachos source back to the Mishkan. They did all 39 activities in the Mishkan. And in the Mishkan, they had a certain reason why they did each malacha. Says Tosfos, the Tzriach Lagufa purpose, the purpose you have to have in mind, according to Rav Shimon, is the purpose they had in mind in the Mishkan. If you do it for the same purpose as the Mishkan, it's Tzriach Lagufa, and you're going to be Chayiv. If you do it for an alternative purpose, it's in Tzriach Lagufa, and it's going to be Pater. So just to plug this into our two cases, case number one, where you can't transport the corpse out into the Rishus Rabim, why is that in Tzriach Lagufa? So what was the purpose of Malachas Hotzah in the Mishkan? In the Mishkan, they performed Hotzah in order to transfer certain items into a new domain. They wanted to have certain items, the Nadava, whatever it was, from domain A into domain B. They wanted to transfer it into domain B. That's the purpose of Malachas Hotzah, to get something into a new domain. But when it comes to the case of the corpse, when you're taking it out of the house, so we'll take the simplest case, which is the reason you're taking it into the Rishus HaRabim is not because you really want it in the Rishus HaRabim, you just don't want it in the house. A corpse is a contaminating agent. Back in the day, when they were makbid on Hilchos Tumah Tahara, so that's something you don't want in the house. So they took it out into the Rishus HaRabim, not because they wanted it there, they just didn't want it in the house. So that's not the same purpose as the Mishkan. That is why Motzi SMAs is Eina Tzricha Lagufa. Fine. So that's case number one. Yeah, Penny.
When we talk about purpose, are you talking about like actual machshava or like the inherent goal of the action that you're accomplishing?
Okay, so we're going to answer half of it. Penny asked the question, but we're going to answer half of it tonight and half of it in Rav Avadia's Shuva. He actually gets into that. So we're going to split it up, but I'm not going to repeat. Fine. Okay, going over to case number two. Case number two, where you dig the hole, not for the sake of the hole, but for the sake of the dirt. So what was the purpose of Malachas Bona in the Mishkan? In the Mishkan, the ultimate case of Bona was building the Mishkan itself or putting up the walls of the Mishkan was Bona. And that was done for the sake of the structure itself. They built a certain structure because they wanted that structure. So if you dig a hole and you want the hole, you want the structure you're making, that's called Tzriach Lagufa. That's the purpose you need to have in mind. But if you dig a hole, not for the sake of the hole, but because you want the dirt, so you're doing the Maisa Malacha, you're digging a hole, but for the wrong purpose, not for the purpose of the Mishkan, therefore it is Eina Tzricha Lagufa. So this is all Shita number one, Shita Satosfos. The purpose you need to have in mind, according to Reb Shimon, is the purpose in the Mishkan, and we plugged it into the case of the mace and into the case of digging a hole. Fine. Moving over to case number two, the Shita number two, the Shita of the Ramban. The Ramban on Sadi Dalet has a very different presentation of Tzriach Lagufa. We're not going to appreciate the difference until we get to the Nafka Minas. It's going to, he's going to have to agree that all the cases on the table so far are in a Tzriach Lagufa. We're not going to appreciate the difference, but ultimately we'll see how it's going to end up being extremely different. The Ramban says that Tzriach Lagufa has nothing at all to do with the Mishkan. We don't care about why they did Malachos in the Mishkan. What we care about is the following. Every single malacha has a certain achievement. There's a certain benefit produced by every single malacha. That's what a malacha means. Every malacha is some productive activity, a productive accomplishment. Says the Ramban, Tarich Lagufa is when you do the malacha for the inherent achievement produced by that malacha. When you do it for its purpose, meaning the purpose provided by the malacha itself, that's called Tarich Lagufa. But if you go through the motions of a malacha, not because you want the inherent benefit provided by the malacha, but you want some external benefit, there's some external achievement that you get by going through the motions of the malacha, that's going to be called Ena Tarich Lagufa, that's lacking in this need for purpose, it's going to be Pater. So let's plug this definition into the two cases. And as I say, it's going to sound similar to Tosfos, but ultimately we'll see the nafka mina. So once again, according to the Ramban, we care about the internal accomplishment of the malacha itself. They all have some benefit. Are you doing it for the benefit provided by the malacha in its natural setting? Or are you trying to get some external achievement? You're going through the motions of the malacha for some external benefit. So let's plug that into the two cases. Case number one, when it comes to the case of transporting the corpse into the Shezer Rabin. So what's the achievement of Melechus Hotzah? The achievement is moving an object into a new domain. That's the fundamental achievement of Hotzah, getting something into a new domain. But as Tosis already had pointed out, in the case of the corpse, so the case we're assuming is where you want the corpse out of the house, not because you want it in the Rosh Hashanah Rabin, you just don't want this contaminating agent in the house. So you're transporting it to Rosh Hashanah Rabin, not for the achievement of Melechus Hotzah. The achievement of Hotzah is to get it into the new domain. You're going through the motions of Hotzah, you're bringing it into the new domain, but for some other purpose, the purpose of just getting it out of the house, that's considered to be an external achievement. That's not the fundamental achievement of Hotzah. Therefore, it is in its Tarich Lagufa. It's actually a pretty abstract idea, but that's what the Ramban says. It's in its Tarich Lagufa because that's not the real achievement of Melechus Hotzah. You're not trying to get it into domain B, you're just trying to get it out of domain A. That's not the fundamental achievement of Melechus Hotzah. Let me just finish plugging it in and then we'll go to Daniel's question on Zoom. The second case is a little easier to understand. When you dig the hole, not for the sake of the hole, but for the sake of the dirt. So what's the achievement of Melechus Bona? The achievement of Bona is the production of a structure. You're producing a hole, you're producing some type of a structure. If you produce the hole for the sake of the hole, so that's you're doing it for the achievement provided by Melechus Bona, that's called Tarich Lagufa. But if you dig a hole for the sake of the dirt, you're going through the motions of the malacha, you're digging a hole, but not for the inherent achievement provided by the malacha itself, some external achievement of getting dirt, that's called Ein Tarich Lagufa. So that is the Ramban Shita, it's an abstract idea, that Tarich Lagufa is about doing it for the internal purpose provided by the malacha itself. You're not going through the motions of the malacha for some external benefit. Daniel.
Yeah, maybe I misunderstood something, but we spent countless hours going over all the different definitions of the Elvis Malachos, and right. We always started with what they did in the Mishkan, and then abstracted out some rule, a principle that seemed to be the goal of the right. of the Malacha. Right. What's the situation other than following the exact paradigm in the Mishkan than you would ever be chayav on Shabbos if
okay,
you're...
So- Daniel's asking a good question. I'm going to respond just a little bit, but ultimately we need the nafka minas to really, you know, grind out the differences between the Ramban and Tosfos and see when they do apply and when they don't apply. But for now, just on a basic level, in the Mishkan, they did 39 malachos. Each malacha had a certain productive quality. There was some achievement in all 39 malachos. But aside from the productive quality, they also had a certain purpose in mind. A certain malacha may have multiple productive accomplishments, but they did it for one specific purpose. In the Mishkan, they did every malacha for a certain specific purpose. So Tarich Lagufa is about why they did it in the Mishkan. What was the reason that they did it in the Mishkan? Why did they do Hotzah? Why did they, according to Tosfos, why did they do, you know, Bishul, Bona, etc.? That's the issue of Tarich Lagufa. What we spent the last 2 years doing is just working on not why they did it, but what they did. What was the act that they did? What was the productive effect of what they did? So it's an abstract idea. We're just going to confuse everybody. So we'll hack it out.
Just because in the Mishnah, let's say by sewing, right? They sewed the ureos, right? Let's say I sew up my pants on Shabbos. That's not the intent they did in the Mishkan. It's not what they wanted to do in the Mishkan, nor why they did it. It has nothing to do with that. It has to be because sewing is the abstracted productive quality of that thing.
For the effect of sewing things together, that, you know, it's not the same exact material, same substances, but that in the Mishkan they sewed to produce something, and here you're sewing to produce something that would have the same model as the Mishkan. You're asking a question. We're going to confuse everyone's lives. If you don't mind, we'll just keep going a little bit.
Sure.
Like, any other questions? Yeah, Eitan.
Are you just saying for Shabbat is a little more big. I mean, not big, broad.
There are going to be nafkaminas that are going to go in both directions, actually. So right now it's different. Until we get nafkaminas, it's very abstract. So let's get to the nafkaminas. Fine. So with that, we've concluded really the basic facts on the ground in terms of Tariq Lagufa. Let's just chaz the facts, then we'll get to today's nafkamina. We have our machlokes tanoim, Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Shimon. Do we care about your purpose when you do a malacha, or as long as you just do the ma'is malacha, you're chayiv? And we're focusing in on Rabbi Shimon, which we basically paskin like. I say basically because there's a little bit of there's a Rambam shita that's not like this. But for the most part, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. And so we want to know, what is that purpose you have to have in mind to be chayiv according to Rabbi Shimon? We have machlokes rishonim. Tosa says it's the purpose in the Mishkan. We ask ourselves, why do they do this in the Mishkan? If you do it for the same reason, you're chayiv. For a different reason, you're pater. According to Ramban, we don't care about the Mishkan. We ask ourselves, what's the accomplishment of this malacha? Are you doing it for the inherent accomplishment of this malacha? Or are you going through the motions of the malacha for an external benefit? So those are the basic shitas now in this machlokes. And now let's get to our first nafkamina. Tonight's nafkamina is the following. The following issue comes up. The Gemara Andaf, Tzadi Dalad, Amad Beis, bring up the issue of clipping your nails on Shabbos. So what's the halachic perspective of cutting one's nails on Shabbos? Now, this fits under the malacha of gozes. Gozes is the malacha of shearing. If you shear a growth off of a body, off of a living being, so that is the basic concept of malachas gozes. So when you cut nails from, you know, a living person, that fits under the malacha of gozes potentially. And that's what the Gemara says. Gemara says that this is potentially going to be chayiv if you clip your nails on Shabbos. The question becomes, what would the halacha be according to Rabbi Shimon? Assuming that we're going with Shitas Rabbi Shimon, we care about the purpose in doing a malacha. So if you cut your nails on Shabbos, you clip your nails, is that considered to be Tariq Lagufa, or is it considered to be in a Tariq Lagufa? So this actually is machlokes between Tosas versus the Ramban, and everyone's going to line up Lashitaso. So let's just go through the two Shitas and Tariq Lagufa and see how they play out in this machlokes. Starting with the shita of Tosfos, Tosfos' shita was, we ask ourselves, what was the purpose in the Mishkan? If you do it for the same purpose, you're chayiv. If you do it for a different purpose, you are pater. So let's ask ourselves, what was the reason they did malachas gozes in the Mishkan? So in the Mishkan, the reason they did gozes was for the purpose of attainment. This is the standard reason why they did gozes in the Mishkan, to attain the wool. They were shearing wool off of an animal in order to attain the wool, to process the wool, and use it in the construction of the Mishkan. That was the reason why they did gozes in the Mishkan. So according to Tosas, that is the purpose you have to have in mind when doing gozes. You have to shear for the sake of attainment. If you're shearing for some ulterior purpose, that is ein tzricha lagufa. Now, when a person clips his nails on Shabbos, you're not clipping the nails to attain the nails. That would just be spooky. You are clipping the nails to enhance the guf. And so according to Tosas, this is ein tzricha lagufa. And Tosas spells this out explicitly on Tzadi Dalad on the base. Clipping your nails is a malacha, shein tzricha lagufa. It is not chayiv according to Rabbi Shimon. So that is the shita of Tosfos. Moving over to the shita of the Ramban. So the Ramban shita is, we look at the achievement of the malacha. What is the accomplishment of the malacha? And we ask ourselves, are you doing for the inherent benefit provided by the malacha itself? Or are you going through the motions of the malacha for an external benefit? So let's ask ourselves, what is the achievement of malachas gozes? So gozes is separating a growth from a body. You have a living being, you separate something growing from the body itself. That is malachas gozes. So there really are two separate achievements in malachas gozes. When you separate the geziza, you separate the growth from the body, you're attaining a growth. That's one achievement. You're also perfecting and improving the guf. There are two achievements. There's a dual achievement in malachas gozes. So either of those purposes would be considered to be tzrich lagufa according to the Ramban. If you clip nails to achieve, to acquire the nails, that's one inherent achievement provided by this malacha. You're getting the nails. But if no one wants the nails, we're assuming you're not doing that. But if you, let's say you clip nails for the sake of improving the guf, you're shearing something not because you want to acquire, but to improve the guf, that's also a inherent achievement in this malacha. It's part of the accomplishment of malachas gozes. Gozes has a dual achievement. You're separating the geziza from the guf. So either one is considered to be tzrich lagufa and is going to be chayiv. And the Ramban spells this out. that he holds that goyis is a malacha atzrich legufa. It is asher midereis according to Rabbi Shimon. Fine. Now, there are two issues that need to be analyzed in this Naf Kamino, and that's what we're going to be focusing on for the remainder of this year. So we're going to have two issues to discuss in terms of this Naf Kamino of clipping your nails on Shabbos. The first issue is Eshitas HaRivash. The Rivash has a unique spin on this Naf Kamino, and it comes out, it's brought down by the Poskim, so it's kedai to go through. The Rivash says as follows. He actually is working with the Shita of Tosfos that the purpose you have to have in mind for Tzricha Legufa is the purpose in the Mishkan. And he argues on Tosfos. So though Tosfos said that Gozes is a Malacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa, you're not doing it for the right purpose in the Mishkan, because they didn't do a Geziza for perfecting the Gof. They did it to attain. But the Rivash argues on Tosfos. Rivash says that the reason that the Gozes is in the Mishkan was not only to attain the growth that they were shearing, they also would shear to improve the guf. They also did a shearing to improve the guf in the Mishkan. Where in the Mishkan did they do this? Says the Rivash, they did it by the Tchashim. The Oros HaTchashim, the Tchashim were special creatures that existed in the times of the Mishkan. They had a very beautiful skins. So they would use the skins for the coverings in the Mishkan. Now, says the Rivash, in order to perfect the skins, they had to remove the hair from the skins, not because they wanted the hair, because they wanted to improve the skins. So says the Rivash, even though we go with Shita number one, we care about the purpose in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, they didn't only do a gozes for the sake of attaining, they also did a gozes for the sake of improving the guf, like in the case with the Tchashim, they were shearing to improve the skins. Therefore, it is asher mideraisa to clip your nails on Shabbos, to do any form of gozes on Shabbos, even if it's just to enhance the guf. That's the Shita of the Rivash. Now, Tosus is arguing on the Rivash, apparently. Tosus is holding that Gozes is only defined based on attaining, not based on enhancing the Gof. Tosus is apparently going to have a different perspective on how to derive from the Mishkan. Tosus feels that for the Mishkan, we only see that that Gozes to acquire fits under Tzrich Legufa, but if you do shearing for the sake of perfecting the Gof, that's in a Tzrich Legufa. So let's spend a moment analyzing this Machlokas, because there's actually a Halach L'maisa issue that's going to come out of this machlokas. So what's the point of contention in this machlokas? What did they do in the Mishkan? Did they shear for the sake of attaining? Did they shear for the sake of improving the skins? What do they do? So the Eglaital explains this machlokas as follows. He says that the Rivash and Tosas are going to have a halachic machlokas about the scope of Malachas Gozes. The question is as follows. Gozes is the malacha of shearing a growth from a living being. The question is Malachas Gozes limited to a situation where the being is still alive? You're shearing it while the being is still alive? Or does it even apply after it's killed? La'achar misa. If after an animal dies, you then shear its wool, would that fit under Malachas Gozes? Says the Eglaital, that's the point of contention in this Machlokas. Starting with the Shita of Tosfos, Tosfos is going to hold, Gozes only applies mechayim, while the animal is alive. While it's alive, when you shear it, that's Malachas Gozes. After it dies, there's no longer an issue of Malachas Gozes. So Tosfos agrees that in the Mishkan, they had to shear the wool to perfect the hides of the Tchashim skins. But that's not Malachas Gozes. Once the Tchashim were killed, any shearing that you do is not the Malacha of Gozes, so that has no bearing on how to define Gozes. Where in the Mishkan did they have Gozes? They would shear the wool from the other animals, from the goats, in order to procure the wool to process it in the Binyan HaMishkan. That was done while the animals were alive. The shearing of the wool was done while the animals were alive. That's Malachas Gozes. That defines the purpose of Gozes. So Tosfos agrees to everything. Everything took place in the Mishkan, but Tosfos feels Gozes only applies Mechayim. And so we only see in the Mishkan shearing to attain. Therefore, shearing only applies to attain, but clipping your nails is Ein Tzricha Legufa. That's the Shita of Tosfos. The Rivash holds that Malachas Gozes is not limited to when the animal is alive. It even applies after the animal is dead. After an animal dies, if you shear a growth from the animal, that still fits under Malachas Gozes. So in the Mishkan, since they were also shearing these skins of the Tchashim to improve the skins of the Tchashim, that was Malachas Gozes. They're shearing, it doesn't matter if it was dead already, they're shearing a growth from this being, that's Malachas Gozes. And the purpose in this situation wasn't to attain, the purpose was to improve the guf. Therefore, says the Rivash, even according to Tosfos, clipping your nails on Shabbos is a malacha hatzricha legufa. So issue one we're pointing out is, after we pointed out this nafka mina Ramban versus Tosfos about clipping your nails, pointing out that the Rivash has a side analysis, he feels even according to Tosfos, clipping your nails would be asur midaraisa. And we're pointing out that there's a point of contention here as to if malachas goizis is limited to when the animal is alive, or if it applies after the animal is no longer alive. So let's just stop for a question, then we'll point out the nafka mina in this machlokas. Yeah, Ben.
Are there any other examples in malachas where you have the malacha being performed in two different ways in the Mishkan, and each one would be
Sricha Lagufa?
Each one would be Sricha Lagufa, but over here it's not only that there's two different ways, it's that if you're doing it for the thing that you're detaching, then if you're doing it for the item itself, you're potter, and if you're doing it the other way around, is there anything else like that?
So you have to go through the Ramban and Kofav. He gives a few more examples of malachos. I just don't want to throw everyone off right now, but it's a good question. Fine. Now, this issue plays out in a shaila that comes up in the poskim, which is as follows. The question is there a problem? Let's say a person has a fur coat or a fur hat on Shabbos. If you would pluck the fur from the fur hat or the fur coat, you have a shtrimel. You're in a different form of Vodas Hashem here. And let's say you want to pluck a piece of hair from the shtrimel, or if you want to comb your shtrimel, is it mutter to comb your shtrimel on Shabbos? So that's going to depend on this machlokes. So let's go through the two tzadim once again. Tosis shita was that goizis is limited to when the animal is alive. It doesn't apply after the animal dies. So according to Tosfos, if you would pull hair out of a fur coat on Shabbos, that would not be a problem of malachas goizis, because since the animal is dead, there is no issue. And so combing a shtrimel, pulling something from a shtrimel, that would all be permissible according to Tosfos. Whereas according to the Rivash, holds that goizis is not limited to when the animal is alive. It even applies after the animal dies. So there would be a problem of goizis in plucking feather or anything from a fur coat or a fur hat on Shabbos. That would be problematic. And that is how we paskin. We are machmir on the shaila. We hold that goizis even applies la'achar misa. So that's just an application of this machlokas. Fine. So that was all issue number one. Yeah. What is that? So that's a good question. That's a machlokas. I post him on that also. Fun. Okay. Yeah, Ethan.
Why do you have to say that Tosfos makes a differentiation between
before and after? Ethan is asking, why in Tosfos are we saying that he differentiates between when the animal's alive and when the animal's dead? The reason was because Tosfos had said that when it comes to goizis, the purpose in the Mishkan was to attain and not to improve the goth. But what do you mean? By the tchashim, they were shearing the hair to improve the skins. Why is that not adding to Tzrich Laguf according to Tosfos?
I mean, that there would be like...
Yeah, let there be two purposes. Listen, the Mishkan, they had two things. They sheared wool to attain. They sheared wool to improve the skins. Let it be two reasons. That's what the Rivash holds, that either one is Tzrich Laguf, either one is Aser Midaraisa. Why is Tosfos saying, why is he ignoring one of the two reasons? So as the Gleital, he's ignoring one of the two reasons because that's not Malachas Gozes. Gozes only applies when the animal is alive, not when the animal is dead. Fine. Issue two. So going back to just our nafka mina between the Ramban versus Tosfos, we're discussing clipping your nails on Shabbos. What's the halacha with clipping your nails? Tosfos himself holds his aser midarabban and it's in a Tzrich Lagufa. Ramban holds his aser midaraisa, it is Tzrich Lagufa. And we had to go through the Rivash. There's a variation on Tosfos. In Tosfos's world, he holds that it's still aser midaraisa. So ultimately, again, Tosfos says it's the Rabbanan. The Ramban and the Rivash both hold that it's aser midaraisa. Now, this issue plays up in a major issue that comes up in the poskim. So let's discuss that right now. There's a major machlokas, and it is a mutually exclusive machlokas. So it's very hard to paskin on the shaila. And the issue is as follows. Let's say we know that when a lady goes to the mikvah, so one of the rules before she goes to the mikvah is she has to cut her nails. That is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. She has to cut her nails before she goes to the mikvah. And this is so important. The Ramah actually says that if a lady forgets to cut her nails and she goes to the mikvah, we are going to make her go a second time. It's ma'akev. So cutting your nails is ma'akev before a lady goes to the mikvah for mikvah. Fine. The shaila the poskim discuss is as follows. What happens in a situation where the lady is supposed to go to the mikvah on Friday night and she forgets to cut her nails before Shabbos. She's preparing for the mikvah before Shabbos, and after Shabbos hits, she realized that she forgot to cut her nails. Or if we don't want her to be forgetful, an emergency came up. She had to do something urgent. She didn't get a chance to cut her nails. And so now comes Friday night, it is Leil Tefillah, and she didn't cut her nails. What does she do? That's the Shaila that the post-Gim debate. So we have on this a major machlokes between the Taz and the Chacham Tzvi versus the Shach. What should she do in this situation? Starting with the Shita of the Taz. The Taz says that you cannot ask a goy to cut the nails. He has certain cheshbonos, which we're going to touch upon. But it says you cannot ask a goy to cut the nails because it involves issues midaraisa. There are issues midaraisa having the goy cut the nails. And so she should clean the nails well, and that will suffice. Let her clean the nails well, and she can be tovel on Shabbos. That is the psak halacha of the Taz. Comes along the Shach, and he says that that is not okay. She cannot clean her nails, because even if you get the dirt off of the nail itself is a chatzitza. Aside from the dirt under the nail itself is a chatzitza. So you can't just clean under the nails and have the lady be tovel. That is not going to work. So what should you do, says the Shach? You should ask a goy to do it. Yudavka should ask a goy to cut the nails, and it's not problematic. There's no problem asking a goy to cut the nails, because the rule is you can have a goy do any malacha derabanan. Anytime you want to ask a goy to do something with the rabbanan for the sake of a mitzvah, that is permissible. Well, says the Shach, listen, in this situation, we're asking a goy to do something midarabanan for the sake of the mitzvah, because clipping one's nails is aser midarabanan like Tosfos. The Shach quotes Tosfos. He says that clipping the nails is aser midarabanan. So you're asking a goy to do a malacha midarabanan of cutting your nails for the wrong purposes in a tzricha legufa for the sake of the mitzvah of going to the mikvah. And therefore, that is what you should do. She cannot clean her nails. Yudavka should ask a goy to cut the nails. That's the shita of the Shach.
Maybe they will bite the nails off. That's not malachas b'shavas.
So you should know. So Rabbi Bluestein, the Shach actually recommends, ideally, you should bite the nails off. But with COVID, I don't think we're going to get a goy to do that. So that's why I jumped the gun here. I went straight to the practice. But Rabbi Bluestein happens to be exactly correct. That is, ideally, the goy is actually supposed to not use a clipper. He's supposed to use his own fingers. But try and ask a goy to do that. Yeah, ask him to cut somebody's nails with his hands. Not so likely. But Rabbi Bluestein is 100% correct. That's why I went straight to using a nail clipper. That is the psak of the Shach. Fine. Comes along the Chacham Tzvi, and he argues in the Shach. He says you cannot ask a goy to clip the nails on Shabbos, because if you ask a goy to clip the nails, that's an Issa Deraisa. Because we don't paskin like Tosfos, we paskin like the Rivash and the Ramban. The Rivash and the Ramban say that there's an Issa Deraisa to clip your nails. When you ask a goy to clip the nails, you're asking a goy to do a Malacha Deraisa. So you cannot ask a goy to clip the nails. What should he do? Clean under the nails. We're going to argue in the Shach and argue that you should clean under the nails. So we have an unbelievable machlokas here, two shitas that are mutually exclusive. The shita of the Taz and the Chacham Tzvi is that you cannot ask a goy to cut the nails. You dafka need to clean under the nails. The Shach shita is you cannot clean under the nails. You dafka have to ask a goy to cut the nails. This is a major issue, lahalacha, what to do in this situation. It's a very severe area of halacha, hilchos nida. Ask a competent posik, but Rabbi Forrest was not so, he's very hesitant on this, what to do in this situation. It's not pasha. Fine. Okay. Halacha l'maisa, I think we're mekel, but there's a bear halacha who's mekel, but it's a very interesting issue that comes out of our machlokas.
What's the kula there? What's the kula? Mekel in what way?
Oh, okay, fine. So Rabbi Lucin's pushing me, so I'm going to answer. I'm happy. I'm so happy. Okay, so the bear halacha comes with a chap. I'll tell you why he's mekel, and this is why we're mekel halacha probably. The bear halacha comes with a chap. His chap is as follows.
Mikkel means to clean the nails?
I'm sorry. That's a good point. I'm sorry. What I mean to say is he says, he poskins, you should ask a goy to do it. And when I say Mikkel, I meant to say that there's a stalemate lahalacha. So one could be machmer and say to push off mikvah, conceivably. Meaning, what should he do? There's a stalemate. You can't make it. I just mean to say that he comes up with a solution in this situation. The Bir Lacha's solution is you can ask a goy to clip the nails. Why can you ask a goy to clip the nails? So this is his chap. He says like this. he says that I think everyone's going to agree that this is only Aser Midarabbanan. That although it's true, there was supposed to be a focus whether clipping your nails is Aser Deraisa or Aser Derabbanan. In this situation, I'm going to come up with a cheshbon to argue that everyone would agree that clipping your nails is Aser Midarabbanan. Can anyone see why this situation would be Ein Shrich L'Gufa according to everybody? That everyone would agree clipping the nails to get ready for a mikvah on Shabbos is Ein Shrich L'Gufa. Yeah.
According to the shop, it says that the nail isn't even part of you, so then you're obviously taking something off that's not even part of you.
Okay, so Eitan knows Hilchos Neid a little bit too much. I just don't want to complicate this for the Chevra. So his chap is like this. The Berel Lachos is like this. He says that in this situation, you're not clipping for the sake of attaining or for the sake of improving the goth. We had two situations. We had clipping to attain. I'm shearing wool because I want to attain the wool. And we could have clipping because I want to enhance the body. I want to make my nails more comfortable. I want to make my goth more comfortable. And everyone agrees that if you clip to attain, if you shear to attain, that's Shrich L'Gufa. But in Machlokas, what if you're improving the goth? Tosafot thinks improving the goth is Ein Shrich L'Gufa. The Ramban, the Rivash feel that is Shrich L'Gufa.
It is improving the goth because it's not going to mikvah.
Okay, so the Bir Lacha says, and this is very controversial, as Rav Lusin's pushing it, but he wants to claim that this is not called improving the goth. That when I clip the nails, she's not doing it to improve her body. She's doing it for Hilchas Chatzitza. That when she clips the nails, she's not trying to make herself more beautiful. She's doing it for Hilchas Chatzitza. And therefore, everyone would agree that this is Aser Derabbanan and it would be permissible. So I believe Halach Lamaisa, a typical mikvah, will keep a goy on hand on Friday night in order to, in the event that this type of situation would arise, because we're making like the Bir Lacha. I don't know what the policy in Queens is, but I assume that's the standard psak based on this Bir Lacha. Yeah. The Bir Lacha holds that anytime you clip, not to attain, not to improve the goth, if you have some third reason why you're clipping, it's Aser Midarabbanan. That's the sheet of the Bir Lacha. Yeah.
So what would you expect to do? You know,
yeah, yeah, okay, fine. So that's a very good question. Ellie's asking what to do about a hangnail on Shabbos. I just don't want to veer off into gozes. I just want to finish up one more issue and then we'll stop. Ben, if you don't mind, I'm just going to finish up one last issue. One more issue that comes up in the post-game. It's a little bit funny, but just to go through it. I saw Rav Avadia in one of his tshuvas, he raises the issue of if there should be an issue of melechus gozes in cleaning one's nose on Shabbos or in scrubbing one's beard on Shabbos. He brings a Kaf HaChaim who's machmir. Rav Avadia says that the Kaf HaChaim was machmir with blowing your nose on Shabbos, cleaning your nose out, or with washing your face if you have a beard, because of melechus gozes. That was the chash of the Kaf HaChaim. And the Kaf HaChaim quotes a maisa with the Arizal. He says that, I don't really understand this maisa, but I'll share with you. He says that the Arizal once, by accident, stroked his beard on Shabbos. And somehow, I don't fully get the matias here, but he was afraid that if he took his hand off, it would pluck some of the hairs from his beard. And so therefore, he left his hand on his beard all Shabbos. This is brought down in Yabia Omer, Hajuba. He brings down the Kaf HaChaim, B'shem the Arizal. The Arizal once by accident stroked his beard and he left his hand there all Shabbos because apparently, I guess he had one of those beards that, whatever. So, you know, some people are mocking not to shave at all, so their beards get a little more fuzzy. Apparently he was worried that if he pulled his hand off his beard, it would be Malachas Gozes. Comes along with Rav Avadia, and Rav Avadia argues on the Kaf HaChaim. He argues on his Chorma. And one of his reasons is Eina Tzricha L'Gufa. He says that anyone who plucks the if any nose hairs come out when you clean your nose out, or if, when you're stroking your beard, any hair comes off the beard, is Eina Tzricha L'Gufa. You're not doing it for the sake of attaining. You're really not doing it for the sake of improving the goof either. So he says that this is a Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, which is an Issa D'Rabbanan. And Kedarik B'Kodesh, he comes up with 5 other million reasons why there's no issue. And so therefore he passes that this is permissible. But so it's just an interesting application of this Shaila. Fine. So with that, we've concluded for tonight. Let's just quickly chazer over and then we'll stop. We started the sugya of Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. In part one, we set down the basic primary sources, the Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Shimon. Do we care about the purpose in doing a Malacha in order to be Chayiv? Rabbi Yehuda does not care Rabbi Shimon does care about the purpose. And we have two examples of purpose. We have the case of taking the corpse out into the Rishus Rabbim is lacking in purpose. We have digging a hole for the sake of the dirt is lacking in purpose. What is that purpose you have to have in mind? The Shita of Tosis is the purpose in the Mishkan. That's the purpose of Tzrich Lagufa. The Ramban Shita is it's about the inherent achievement of the Malacha. Are you doing the Malacha for inherent beneficial purposes? Or are you going through the motions of the Malacha for extrinsic purposes? And we pointed out tonight's nafkamina was the issue of clipping your nails on Shabbos. Is that asur b'deraisa or asur b'derabanan? According to Tosis himself, says that it's asur b'derabanan because it wasn't in the Mishkan. The Ramban says that clipping your nails on Shabbos is asur b'deraisa because it's being done for inherent beneficial purposes. You're improving the body. And the Rivash, we pointed out, had a wild card. He holds it's also asur b'deraisa. He's in the Shita of Tosfos, but he felt that it did take place in the Mishkan. When they were improving the Tchashim skins, that took place in the Mishkan. We spent a few moments analyzing that machlokas. We had a machlokas in Gozes. This Gozes apply after the animal died. That was a machlokas Tosis versus the Rivash. And we pointed out halach lamais that impacts on combing a shrimal on Shabbos or plucking from a fur coat on Shabbos. That would depend on Tosis versus the Rivash. We are machmer on that shayla. And then we pointed out we moved over to two more nafkaminas in the machlokas Ramban. Tosis Rivash about clipping your nails on Shabbos. Nafkamina one was the issue of mikvah. What should you do if a lady forgets to cut her nails before going to the mikvah on Friday night? We had two mutual exclusive shitas in the postgim. Taz and the Chacham Tzvi say you cannot ask a guy because that's us at the Raisa, like the Ramban Rivash. Clean the nails. Shach says don't clean the nails because the nails are a chatzitza. Cut the nails and ask a guy to do it. And Rabbi Bluestein pushed me, so I pointed out the Pesach of the Bir Lacha. He has a chab. He thinks everyone agrees to the Rabbanan. And so therefore, the Bir Lacha paskins that this is permissible. We point that out a second afkamina, for those of you, I guess, who have beards. Ravadi is makel on stroking your beard on Shabbos and blowing your nose on Shabbos because it's a malacha. You're not doing it for any purpose at all. And coupled with some other cheshbonos, he says that it is permissible. Okay, shkaya. So have a wonderful Shabbos, and we'll continue next week.
Shabbos.
So I'm listening. Mary, you had a question?
Yeah. Sorry if I don't know if someone else asked this, but doesn't Rashi have a bit of a different shita?
Okay, so I didn't do shitas Rashi for the sake of time. There's a big hack if Rashi has a third shita or not. Rav Parnas learned that Rashi holds like the Ramban, and Rav Savitchik also held from Yeshiva held that Rashi held like the Ramban. They're Tavi Marv now, so I'm just going to stop. But that's a good question.